to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to talk about the real story. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to do a little more interactive to help us. Those of you that brought your children, we love your children being in the service. So don't worry about them. They're not going to bother us. They might bother you, but they won't bother us. We're glad they're here. We won't go a long time, I promise. And there might even be a video in the middle of this. We'll see what happens. Luke chapter 2. If you did not bring a Bible with you, there are Bibles underneath the chairs in front of you, or should be, or grab one there, or use your phone. I want you to be able to see God's Word this morning. We're going to talk about the real story, but I want to ask you, what is the real story of Christmas? On Friday, I walked around at our school here and went into each of the classrooms where the three-year-olds and four-year-olds start, and I asked them what they were celebrating, and they got it right away. Didn't have to be reminded, didn't have to be remembered or told the story all the way up through our older kids. Every party that I went into, they all had the real story of the message of Christmas. So join me in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to see if you pay attention to some of the things in Scripture with me this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, God's Word says, "Now it came about in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." That is the real story of Christmas. And most of us have heard that. You probably started hearing that when you were just a child. Maybe somebody took you to church and you heard that, or maybe somebody in your own home would read that story to you. Some of you may do that Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. As a part of your tradition, as a part of your routine, is read that story. I want us to see if we pay attention to some of the details of the story. It says that in those days, the days that Jesus, the Savior, was born, that a decree went out, an order, a ruling, that a census be taken. Now, we have censuses today, and there are orders given out that everybody be counted, but fortunately, we don't have to each go to the hometown that we are from or that our family is from. But in this case, they did. It was part of their culture. It says it was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So it gives us a historical time frame. It gives us an understanding that this is a reality, something that can be checked outside of the biblical account. It can be checked in the history books as well. And it says in verse 3, all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. I want you to help me. Where was Joseph when this happened? Where was Joseph? Somebody tell me. He was in Galilee. Galilee is a city? Nope. Galilee is a what? It's a region. It's in northern Israel around the Sea of Galilee. What city was he in? He was in Nazareth. So he had to travel down to Bethlehem. And the reason that he did that was because his family was from there. Do we know biblically if Joseph was born in Bethlehem? We don't know that. But his family, the line, you can look in Matthew chapter 1 and see the line of Joseph goes through King David. All of those, many of those people from King David on were born in Bethlehem. So Joseph went back to the hometown of the line of his people in order to be counted. Was Joseph and Mary the only ones that had to go to their own hometown to be counted? Say that louder. No. Everybody that was in the region, that was in the area of Israel, everybody who was under this rule, under this edict, had to go to their own hometown. There was not just Joseph and Mary going to their town. It says that they went to Bethlehem. Anybody know what Bethlehem means? Means the house of what? House of bread. Why is that significant? Because Jesus tells us why. Listen to Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 51. No coincidence in Scripture. That word's not evident in Scripture. No word luck in Scripture. But God planning every detail of his son's birth. John chapter 6, verse 47. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish leaders and he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." So Jesus says that he is the bread of life, and he was born where? In the house of bread. Coincidence? No. God planning every detail. Those of you that have already had children, when your children were born, especially your first one, second, third, fourth, there was less planning of what would happen in the house, I'm sure. But you got your nursery decorated, you made sure you had the gifts, you made sure things were monogrammed and ready for receiving your first child. You took care of the details. God is introducing his one and only son to the world, and he is taking care of every single detail. The bread of life was born in the place called the house of bread. Bethlehem, as we know, as you heard from me, is not a specific place. It is today if you go to Israel and visit Bethlehem. But in Jesus' day, it was more of a nomadic city. It was mostly people who moved from place to place as they needed to. Now, they didn't move miles and miles and miles. They basically stayed in the same region south of Jerusalem. Today it's about 5 miles southeast of Jerusalem. It was in that area in those hills, but they would move around as they needed to take care of the things that they needed to take care of. They didn't have brick and mortar houses like you and I have. They had probably places that could be easily moved, tents or temporary buildings that could easily be moved. That was known in that day. Notice in verse 5, they went to Bethlehem because Joseph was of the house and family of King David. And they went there to register for the census. In other words, Joseph, remember we were told earlier that he's a righteous man. He always does what is right in God's eyes. So he listens to the decree and he goes because he's been told, and he takes Mary, who he's engaged to, who verse 5 says was with child. And it came about that while they were there, so how many days were they there before Jesus was born? We have no idea. Were they there a couple of hours? Don't know. But the stories that we hear most of the time kind of make it seem like they basically got there and that night Jesus was born. We don't know that. That's not what Scripture says. They may have been there for weeks before Jesus was born. The verse specifically says when they got there, at some point after that, the days were complete, the 9 months or whatever, Jesus was born, and he was born there. But remember, there's also other things going on. Are they the only two traveling? No. There are lots of other people traveling. Is there nobody else in Bethlehem? No. Probably a bunch of their relatives are there too, people they've met and people they haven't met. It's probably like a big family reunion. We see in these verses, in verse 7, there was no room for them in the inn or a traveler's place to stay. Why? Because there were so many people in Bethlehem. Their family, especially his family, could have been there with her. We don't know that, but we also don't know that they were alone and had nobody else there, because everybody was traveling to their own town. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn or the traveler's place. It wasn't a Holiday Inn or a Hilton Hotel kind of a thing. It was just probably a place that was temporary that people could stay in if there was room. Instead, we understand from both Luke and Matthew that Jesus was probably born where animals lived or stayed. There's different versions of that. But I want you to see the specific word manger. It literally means a feed place or a box that would hold food. But that same word is also used for a place that we see in Israel over and over and over again. It's a common thing that you would see if you've ever been to a place in Israel that's been excavated. And you see the city gates when you get there. I've told the teenagers this a couple of weeks ago. When you get to the gates and you go inside, there's usually a box on the right side or the left side. When you go in the gate, they've been excavated. They're made out of stone. Somebody would have carved, basically just hollowed out a stone, so to speak, and put it there. Interesting that the same word for manger, feeding trough, is the same word for that box inside the city gate. The purpose of going inside the city gate with that box is you put your tax money, you put your entrance fee, you paid the price if you were not a citizen to go inside the city gate and take advantage of the city services. Now, if you lived there, the guards would just let you in. But if you were a visitor there, you had to pay the price to go in. Isn't it interesting? God, in all of his details, would have his son, after he's born, placed in a box that people paid the price to get in. And we know from Scripture that ultimately Jesus Christ paid our price for us to be able to get into heaven by simply believing in him. He was born in a manger on purpose. What is the message of Christmas? You've seen this clip before, but I want to show it to you, that even as children, even as adults, we can know the real meaning of Scripture. Some of you remember this clip, but just to set it up, it's from Charlie Brown's Christmas. Let's read it together in Luke chapter 2. If Linus gets it, you and I can get it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." In the middle of the night, after Jesus was born, shepherds minding their own business, taking care of their sheep. And we know that shepherds culturally were probably young boys and maybe even young girls. Probably not older men. They were at home asleep. But they were out in the fields. They were not considered high class. No, they were considered lower class because they took care of smelly sheep and goats out in the fields, day and night, rain or shine, heat or cold. But God chose to make known the birth of his son, the Savior of the world, to these shepherds. In the middle of the night, can you imagine being there when an angel appears to you? All of us have said before, "God, if you would just appear to me, I'd do whatever you said." Here are these young men, maybe young women, out in a field at night, and an angel appears to them. I imagine they were terribly frightened, but the angel knows that because he first says to them, "Do not be afraid." He recognizes what they may be experiencing or thinking in that moment. And then he told them, that good news was for a great joy for all the people, not just for them. This wasn't a baby born into their family. It wasn't a niece or a nephew or a brother or a sister. This was a child that had been born for all the people. And notice where the angel says this baby has been born. Not some random city, but specifically the Savior has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the king. Everybody knew where that city was. And he says that that child that has been born for you is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In other words, he is the Messiah. He is the promised one. He's the one that all of the world has been waiting on, and especially the Jews who know that he has been promised. He has been born today. And he says to them, this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feed box. A place also known for collecting taxes inside the city gate where you pay your fee. The angel appears in the middle of the night and the glory of the Lord shines around them. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to these people and he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Was it a mistake? Nope, not a chance. God taking care of every single detail. Notice that nowhere does the shepherd, where the shepherd's told by the angel that they have to go, but their curiosity gets the best of them and they go to find the child. The angel kind of assumes that they would and says, when you get there, you're going to find this baby wrapped in cloths. But there's no command given by God that they have to go. But when they go, they find exactly what they thought. And all of a sudden, the angel is joined by a heavenly host. In other words, there were so many that they couldn't be counted. So many heavenly beings shouting, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels went to Bethlehem and found the baby, just like the angel said, wrapped in cloths and lying in a feed box, a manger, a box used to pay taxes. And when they found him, they made known the statements that the angel had told them about the child. Those who were there, maybe grandparents were there, maybe aunts and uncles were there. Nowhere are we told that they weren't. But we know that people have gathered together. They've gathered to their hometowns to be counted. Joseph and Mary weren't the only ones. There may have been some of their relatives there with them. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary, the mother, the virgin who had just given birth to a child, not humanly possible, but only possible by divine means, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then notice what happens with the shepherds. They went back to their flocks by night, and they went back glorifying and praising God. No longer afraid, no longer scared to death, but instead rejoicing and giving God praise for all that they had heard and seen, exactly what the angel had told them they would find. What is the real story of Christmas? We know that this is the real story. The birth of Jesus Christ is the real story of Christmas. The Savior of the world born into the earth. And all we have to do to inherit eternal life is to believe in the bread of life, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who God had promised. Who do you believe in this Christmas? Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of being able to know the real story of Christmas. Father, I pray that you'd help all of us this Christmas to make sure we don't miss this story. Oh, it's great to gather with family and friends. It's great to share presents with one another and express our love and appreciation to people. All of those things are good things. But the greatest thing is to take time to recognize and acknowledge in our own hearts and in our minds and even in our actions that the real story of Christmas is the birth of your Son, your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Father, help us to trust you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.